Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Thursday, March the 28th, 2024. It is currently 5:49 p.m. Central Time, and I am coming to you live from the Theology Central studio, located right here in Abilene, Texas. Now, what comes to your mind when you hear the word Easter? What comes to your mind when you think of Holy Week? What comes to your mind when you hear things like Good Friday or Easter Sunday morning or Resurrection Day? Are all of your thoughts, if I can speak correctly, are all of your thoughts directed towards things of Scripture and things that relate to God and Jesus and the crucifixion and the resurrection? Is it all spiritual? Is it all biblical? Is it all theological? Is that where your mind goes? Or maybe when you look back over your Christian life, you remember other things about Easter. You remember maybe family or barbecues or Easter egg hunts or new clothes or you know, a sunrise service, or you think about a lot of activities. Now, you may also think, you know, well, this is a time we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay? This is where we remember the last week of Jesus' earthly life, okay? You may be thinking about all of those things, but I bet you that even no matter what church you went to, I bet that there were a lot of traditions. Now, you may not like that word. I bet you there were a lot of activities associated with that time of year. Oh, come on, you can admit it, right? A lot of people try to play it down, and then when you find out the name of their church and you go look it up, you're like, well, you did what for the Easter? You did what? You did what? And there's usually plenty of things, right? And even if it's not directly related to Easter, a lot of times you'll find these churches that still do other things. They do things for a fall festival. What is that? Trunk or treat. What is that? They have a Valentine's Day banquet. What is that? You'll find churches that do all of these kinds of activities and things, right? They do all of them. And in many cases, if you criticize it or point it out, people will get mad at you. But at the same time, they will point their fingers at other churches going, how dare they do that? That's sacrilegious. That's ungodly. That's fleshly. That's carnal. And you're like, but look at all the things your church does. But it's always weird. If your church does it, it's wonderful and it's great. And if someone criticizes your church, then they're the bad guy. It's really weird and very inconsistent in how it plays out. But when you think of Easter, Resurrection Sunday, what comes to your mind? Come on, be honest. New clothes, Easter egg hunts, what comes to your mind? Well, when I think of Easter at this point in my life, I tend to think back to the year 2004. 2004. That's where my mind goes to 2004. Now, before we get to Easter of 2004, let's go back to February the 1st, 2004. Now, February the 1st, 2004 was the Super Bowl. Super Bowl Sunday. Now, we're going to get to Easter. But when I think about Easter, this is where my mind goes. First, it goes back to February the 1st, 2004, because that was Super Bowl Sunday. And something really crazy happened on that Super Bowl. Do you remember? There was a wardrobe malfunction. Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, halftime show, and well, let's just say Janet Jackson exposed more than, well, we could talk about, was it planned? Was it not planned? Did something go wrong? We could talk about it all day. You all remember that controversy, right? Do you remember that? Well, I found myself in kind of a weird set of circumstances because I had a radio program that aired every Sunday on a local Christian radio station. Now, leading up to the Super Bowl, I did a broadcast where I absolutely just went on a full-blown rant, like I was a raving lunatic at what all of the churches were doing in the local area. I had a newspaper. I know it's 2004. You got to remember, a long time ago, I had a newspaper. It was a local newspaper, and it had all of these advertisements and things about, in fact, the newspaper had an entire section about what all the churches were doing for Super Bowl Sunday and how they were going to be showing the Super Bowl in the sanctuary. And then they were going to be showing the Super Bowl for the youth and the youth department. And there were going to be Super Bowl parties and then we're going to not have Sunday night preaching. No. It was Super Bowl party, and they were going to have food, and they were going to have drinks, and they were going to have fun, and they were going to have games. Oh, maybe there was going to be like a 10-minute devotional thrown in somewhere, but they were going to show the Super Bowl, and I lambasted that. I condemned it. I'm like, the New Testament does not call for the church to be providing a Super Bowl party. And then you could get into the regulative principle, normative principle, but I unloaded. And the Christian radio station was not very happy with me, right? They were a little unhappy. And just as the controversy was about, you know, I don't know if something was going to happen. I don't know what was, I know that maybe I was kind of skating on thin ice, but then February the 1st, 2004 happened. The wardrobe malfunctioned, and everybody's like, oh, this is ungodly, and the music industry is ungodly, and the Super Bowl is ungodly. And I'm like, and the churches were showing the Super Bowl inside the church. So they kind of backed off. They kind of left me alone. They're like, okay, whatever. All right. Hey, just, you know, they didn't really tell me what I couldn't or couldn't do, but you could just kind of tell that, I mean, hey, what are you going to say to me? You know, how do you like me now? Hey, you know, what are you going to say now? Right. They didn't really know what to do. So February the 1st, 2004 went, and then it started getting closer to Easter of 2004. And I bought another newspaper. I bought a newspaper leading up to Easter of 2004. And in the newspaper, the Abilene Reporter News, they had a giant section, like 2 pages, of what all the churches were going to be doing in Abilene, Texas for Easter, for the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And it had things like the Easter bunny was going to appear. There was going to be an Easter egg hunt, and they were going to have a pancake breakfast, and they were going to do this, and they were going to do that, and they were going to do this. And they're going to do that. And I was like, oh, this is unbelievable. And then you saw all the ads in the newspaper for, you know, get your Easter dress. Because, you know, going to church has to be a fashion show for Easter. All of these things. And so guess what I did? I took the newspaper and I read what the churches were doing. And once again, I went on a full-blown rant that none of this has anything to do with the resurrection of Christ. It wasn't the Easter bunny hanging on the cross. It wasn't a bunny who came hopping out of the empty tomb or out of the tomb that was about to be empty. He didn't bring Easter eggs with him. And so I condemned it. I condemned it all. And guess what? Now the Christian radio station was furious because while my program was airing, in the middle of my program, I was kicked off Christian radio. When I think about Easter, I think about when I was kicked off Christian radio for daring to criticize churches for doing things like Super Bowl parties and turning Easter into anything and everything other than simply the celebration and the worship of the resurrected Christ. I condemned it. Now, again, I understand not all churches hold to the regulative principle. Some hold to the normative principle, and we could debate that all day. But I don't think there's any way, shape, or form for any, I don't know how anyone tries to justify churches offering all of this nonsense. It's not what the church is supposed to do. You come to church to worship. You come to church to pray. You come to church to hear the word of God taught. Everything else you can do outside of church. You can have all the fun. You can get up in the morning and pancake parties. You can do whatever you want. The church has one major function, and that is to equip saints. So I got kicked off Christian radio for criticizing churches, and I wasn't making anything up. I was literally reading their information that was inside the newspaper. No one could say that I said anything false. I didn't use exaggeration or hyperbole. I literally read word from word what was in the newspaper that those churches submitted because they wanted to promote what they were doing. I read their promotional material and I get kicked off Christian radio because I there criticized it because no. I was supposed to say all these things that they're doing. It's great. They're going to have the Easter bunny there. It's great that they're going to have an Easter egg hunt. It's wonderful. But I said, it's not wonderful. I said, this is ridiculous. And it has nothing to do with Christianity. Now, at that point, 2004, my perspective was go after the churches, criticize the churches. The churches are wrong. The churches are wrong. But now it's 2024 and I no longer criticize the churches. It's not the fault of the church. It's the fault of the people who support those churches. It's the fault of people who go to churches who it may not get to you having the Easter bunny, the Easter bunny showing up in the parking lot or the Easter bunny walking around in the four in the, you know, the sanctuary or right there, you know, in the lobby where everybody's coming into the church. No, your church may not have gone that far, but how many things have your church added that has really nothing to do with the Word of God? Fall festivals, trunk or treat, lock-ins, pizza parties, you know, men's hunting trips, women's quilting clubs, yeah, just activity, potlucks, ice cream socials, on and church picnic, on and on and on. None of that has anything to do. And once you open the door, well, then who gets to decide is what is too far? Who gets to decide? Who gets to make that decision? And so what I have seen, if it's a big mega church, and they decide to do something, it's the smaller churches like, that's ungodly, that's worldly, they've turned Christianity into a circus. And you want to look at them and go, can I have your church website? Because look, you've added this, and none of that. But it's not the same. Oh, it's not the same for what? Because it's on a smaller scale? That's why it's not the same? Or because you believe you have the right theology? So the right theology gives you license to then just turn your church into, I don't know, the YMCA activity center, the community club. So I used to condemn the churches, but I condemn the people who allow this stuff to happen in their churches. Because you know why these churches do these things? It's supply and demand. The people demand activities. They want fun, food, and fellowship. Even though they say they don't, they do. And the churches supply what the people demand. Why were there Super Bowl parties? Because the people obviously wanted them because they went to the churches that provided them. The people go to churches that do Easter egg hunts. Why? I don't know. They go and these churches do all of these things and they show up and they support it and they send their money and they give their money to these churches supporting all of the nonsense. And yet the people be like, I don't really know why these churches are doing all of this stuff, because the people want it. I don't put the blame at the door of the church anymore. I put the blame right there in the pew. The people want it and they're going to get what they want. And when you don't give them what they want, they'll leave to go somewhere to get what they want, even though they will try to tell you, no, I went there because the preaching was so good. You went there because you liked your friends. You like sitting in a circle, singing Kumbaya while you're having a Coke and a smile, while you're eating some ice cream. You like that stuff. And as much as you try to claim it's anything else, it's just at some point, nobody is listening because you're not convincing anybody. Now, why am I taking a trip down memory lane to 2004 and what I remember about Easter? Because there's a controversy, kind of a controversy. There's some people not happy about it. A megachurch in California is hosting an Easter egg hunt with 20,000 eggs and 20 Easter weekend services. A California megachurch is to host egg hunt with 20,000 eggs, 20 Easter weekend services. And I'm seeing a lot of people condemning this, going, oh, this is just ridiculous. But every time I almost want, when I hear someone, condemn it, I'm like, give me your church's website. Come on. Tell me what your church is doing. And it's like, your church is doing things that are no more biblical than this. It's just on a much smaller scale. So if it's on a smaller scale, it's okay. Here's the story. A multi-site megachurch based in California will host 20 worship services on Easter Sunday and Good Friday, and a Saturday egg hunt featuring approximately 20,000 eggs. The Rock Church, which features 5 campuses in California, 1 in Hawaii, and approximately 7,500 regular worshipers, will host the service on Friday and continue into next Sunday. Rock Church senior pastor told the Christian Post that the services will be split among each of the campuses, with him delivering a message either in person or via video. We have 6 campuses, so the number of services would be adding up how many all those campuses have, some having 2, some having 5. He said, Good Friday, the message is specifically about the crucifixion. Easter is it's specifically about the resurrection. The church will host an Easter egg hunt on Saturday at the Rock Point Loma with activities for the whole family, followed by a worship service. Last year's hunt brought as many as 2,000 people, including many young children. The Easter egg hunt will be an activity outside, and then right after that, we start church, and then we'll come into church, the pastor said, calling the egg hunt a pre-service activity. When asked what he hopes people take away from the busy weekend at the church, he said that he wants them to really grasp the basic foundational message of the gospel. See how you always wrap it up in Christianese? That always drives me crazy how Christians can do it. It doesn't matter what we do, and it's always, it's something spiritual. We're going to give the basic foundational message of the gospel. What? You're getting people there for fun, food, and activity. Why do we always spiritualize that? You get 10 Christians together. It's a great time of fellowship. Lord, as we prepare to eat this food, bless this time of great fellowship. Where 10 people across the street who get together eating the same food, probably going to have very similar to the same conversations, maybe with just fewer cuss words. Okay, or the church may have fewer cuss words than the people across the street, but the people across the street won't say, what we're about to do is engage in something spiritual. No, we're getting together, hanging out and having food and talking about the weather, our jobs, our family, who knows what, our trucks, our guns, whatever Christians get together to talk about. The difference is, They don't pretend that it's something other, but the Christian will be like, time of fellowship. You're getting together, eating food and talking about whatever. Rarely does any theological conversation of any significance even breaks out. And if it does, it's like, oh my goodness, what is happening? But we spiritualize this. So, hey, we're doing all of this, all of these activities for the right reason. It's spiritual. You're just throwing spiritual words upon just normal activity that anyone will do doesn't make them all of a sudden spiritual. It says they hear the gospel and see Christ their Savior and really understand the purpose of the resurrection and also the purpose of the crucifixion, the value of the crucifixion, he added. The service will also feature original music from the Rock Church worship team and special sermons. After being addicted to cocaine, then it talks a little bit about the sermon and his way of going. Now, if you go down here to the comments, immediately you start seeing some negative ones. The secularization of the church, some call it the great apostasy, literally falling away is what the Bible calls it. Immediately someone starts criticizing it. Now, what I would want to know, they don't give their name and they don't give the church they go to. But come on, give me the name of your church. Let me see your website. You're criticizing the mega church as the great apostasy, the secularization of the church. Let me see your church. Come on. What do y'all do? What do you do for Halloween? Fall festival? Hayride? Come on. What do you do? Now, maybe they go to a church that doesn't do any of those things, but I've watched this play out so many times where people start criticizing and we're like, you know what? Your church just doing it on a smaller scale. Someone else goes, I hope that's not real eggs. That could feed a lot of people. All right. Okay. Someone else says, that's what I call a huge waste. Easter egg hunts and the Easter bunny have no place in the church, period. End of story. That being said, it's absolutely astounding how many eggs and services the church has for this weekend. All right. Now, I agree. It doesn't have any place in the church. But again, what is your church doing? What things have your church added in? Right? What things have your church added in? Oh, let's just look at your youth department. Come on. Lock in. Come on. What? A trip to an amusement park during the summer. Come on. What fun food and activity? Well, that's different. We always have an excuse why it's different. Why? Who draws the line? someone else. Easter is not about egg hunts. It's about he has risen for our transgressions. Poor article. I don't know what's poor article. They're informing you about what's going on. Sometimes the people who make comments on the Christian Post drive me insane. It's like, they're supposed to be telling us what's going on. That's why we read it. Okay. I wonder if the egg hunt has been canceled in Alabama since all eggs are human beings. Ha, 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 ha. Okay. All right. All right. I see here. It's an utter shame and travesty to teach children that Easter is about getting baskets of candy or eggs. And then someone says, poor article. The article is informing you. Okay. What? Oh, my goodness, people. All right. Okay. Now, some people are going to get into an argument about the word Easter and it's a pagan holiday. Okay. We can go on and on and on about that. Look, I don't care the issue is, are we celebrating the resurrection of Christ? We celebrate the resurrection of Christ, call it Resurrection Sunday. Who cares about the word? And just celebrate the biblical event. All right. All right. Okay. So, yesterday, one church planner bragged about planting the churches. Planting this? Did Jesus die on the cross for this? Satan is laughing in America on Easter. He knows that Jesus resurrected, but the egg hunters won't. He isn't scared of the fake American Christians. Well, okay. But again, a lot of people are condemning this. Someone says, no wonder this country gets destroyed. Fake Christianity of the U.S., of the USA forgot what it is for. All right. So there's just a lot of negative of comments. But again, none of those people making comments are offering up their church website because I want to see their church website. Now, this church having 20,000 eggs, what is it, the number? You know, 20,000 eggs, giant egg hunt, and all of the, and probably if I look up the church and look up all the activities they're having, there's a church here in Abilene. At certain times of the year, you drive past it. Maybe they do it once a year. Maybe it's twice a year. I don't know. They have like a big, it's almost like a carnival, right? They got the bouncy houses out there and they got booths and they take the whole parking lot up and they got food and music and activities and games and everyone stops by. Well, okay, it's nothing compared to the size of this church, but they do that. I've seen smaller churches do things like that. The question is, what I want to get across is really two points I want to get across here. First, the first point I want to make, and I think this is important, is I no longer blame these churches for any of this. I used to do that, but I don't anymore. People. The people want the church provides. The people demand, and people say, well, I don't really want that. Shh. If you don't want that, you would go to a church that doesn't provide any of it, but you go to the church that provide it. And you say, well, I don't really like it, but you're there supporting the church. You're giving them your money. You're showing up. You're there helping those things happen. So if you didn't like it, you wouldn't support it. Right. And I get frustrated there. I really get frustrated because it's usually some church where they don't offer all of that fun, food and fellowship. And there's four people and they can barely make it. Well, the church, everybody's like, well, I don't like all of this fun, food and activity. And like, look at all the things your church offers. Obviously you do, or you'd be going to the church with four people, but the church with four people, you don't like the preaching. At some point, I get very frustrated with the concept. If you don't like that stuff, then you wouldn't be supporting it. Now, in some cases, I agree. You don't have any choice. You don't have any option. But you can say you're not going to support it. You can definitely say, well, I may not have any choice where I go, but I'm not going to give my money supporting all of the fun, food, and activity. How much of the budget goes to all of that? So I think the people say they don't want it. But over and over and over, those are the churches that isn't it weird that so many people claim they don't want all of that? But those are the churches that seem to always be growing and have money and have big buildings and have staff. Why is it always the churches that provide all of the things that so many people say they don't want? I'm so tired of hearing people don't want it. My entire ministry was built on we're not going to offer anything other than the in-depth teaching of the Bible, theology, and church history. Fun, food, and activity will not exist. First thing I had ripped out of my church was there was like a little kitchen area, and I had it ripped out, gone. You want to eat? Eat at home. We don't come here to eat food. We come here to eat, partake and eat of God's word. And I had plenty of people saying, ooh, this is awesome. We don't have, yeah, until they decided they, and then sooner or later, people want me to start, well, can we do this? And shouldn't we do this? And should, why do you always want to add all of the non-spiritual stuff? I don't get it. Well, we, never mind. And so again, they go, and guess where they go? They go to churches that offer all of that kind of stuff. And I guess supposedly that's the key to their spiritual growth. So I think the people, I don't blame the church. What would, just look around your city this week. Just look around. Just start looking at all the church websites. Tell me what your churches are doing. Come on, tell me. Some of these things will be way extravagant and maybe over the top. But even the smaller churches will be doing things just at a much smaller scale. But just look, how many will cancel services? You say, can't, they'll do Easter, but then they'll cancel Sunday night. They'll cancel Sunday night. Instead of adding services, many will eliminate services. It's Holy Week. Many have already eliminated services this week. Some will add some, yes. But just look, and then don't condemn the church. What we have to ask ourselves is, how do we convince people that what they should really want is to go to places where the emphasis is on the preaching and teaching of God's word, not on all the fun, food, and activity? How can we convince people to stop supporting with their money those churches that do all of those things and support things that are not doing those things? How do we change the mindset of the people? Forget the church. Forget that, you know, when the church will change, when the people change, when all of a sudden they wake up and go, oh man, our budget is down 50%. Why? Why, people? And people say, well, why? Because you were wasting all of the money on all of these foolish activities. We don't think it should be going to that. Then they'll be like, okay, we're going to get, trust me, they'll make a change instantaneously. They'll be like, okay, we're going to get rid of all of that, and we're going to spend our money and focus on ministry. We're going to do preaching and teaching. We're going to have classes. We're going to offer curriculum. We're going to hand out theology textbooks. And all of a sudden, they'll give the people what they want. So that's, I think that's the one of the big takeaways is that. So what the people want. And then I think number two. So number one, these issues go to the people, not to the church. And I think number two, I think I'll go with this for number two, is I want you to just consider, and it's very much related to number one because it proves what the people want. But in number two, I just think we have to ask ourselves, what is your church doing? Just look at your a calendar year. What are the things that are kind of like, well, wait a minute, is that really called for in the New Testament? Is this really what the church is supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be having kids build these like little cars for Awana and racing them? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to having, you know, people dress up like Bible characters for supposedly a Halloween alternative? Are we supposed to be having campouts and hay rides and lock-ins and pizza parties? Now, the minute you allow for some, where do you draw the line? Because what people tend to do, and one second they want to apply the regulative principle and regulate what people do. But then in the next minute, they slide over to the normative principle, saying, well, the Bible doesn't actually condemn it, so we can do it. It's like, well, wait a minute. Do you want the regulative principle or the normative principle? Which one are you at? And most people don't even know. You know what they do? If their church does it, it's fun and it's spiritual. If that big mega church down the street is doing it and we don't like the pastor because his name is Stephen Furtick or his name is Rick Warren. I mean, that's a dated reference since, you know, Rick Warren stepped down. But whoever the pastor is of whatever big church, whether it's Bethel, you just name the churches, or Joel Osteen, well, then it's ungodly and it's worldly and it's fleshly because, see, the big mega churches are doing it. Now, even though your church is doing smaller things on a smaller scale, then those things get justified. That's the stuff that's got to stop. We got to put the blame at the people, not the church. And second, we've got to start asking ourselves, well, what have we opened the door to? Once you open the door, there's no closing it, right? Tell your kids that the curfew now is midnight. And then all of a sudden say, nope, I'll change my mind. It's now 10 p.m. Once you open that door to midnight, you're going to have a hard time getting it back to 10 p.m. Once you open the door for this or this or this, you're going to have a hard time closing it. So yeah, this article, everyone's going to post it and talk about it, and people are going to yell and scream and, oh, this is the end of American Christianity. But this stuff, look, this stuff has been going on way before. Look, going all the way back to the 1980s, I can tell you when I was a teenager and I first became a Christian, I was blown away. When I came to church, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. The Bible's the word of God. I want to learn. And I was in the youth department, and I'm like, what is this nonsense? We're having a lock-in on Friday? We're playing Capture the Flag? What? We're going to Six Flags? Wait, this is, I don't need it. I don't need any of this nonsense. I was the teenager yelling, going, why? Why would I come to church for your cheap imitation of fun? I can have all the fun on my own. I don't need your stupid games. Now, the church kids loved it, right? Because then they could come to church and just have fun, food, and activity. And I'm like, I don't want any of this. So I left the youth department. Like, I'll go to the adult Sunday school class. I'll go somewhere. I'll find someone who actually wants to study the Bible. I'm like, instead of having a potluck or pizza party, whatever nonsense we were doing as teenagers, I'm like, hey, how about we come to the church and we study the Bible? Oh, no, nobody was down with that. No. Because we're teenagers. We can't actually study, I guess. We gotta be entertained. And stuff. But see, it was a small scale because it was a little small church in the middle of nowhere, Texas. But now if you magnify that to something gigantic and extravagant, some big mega church, then people are like, oh, look at how ungodly, look at how carnal. Well, that it starts with the small stuff. California megachurch will be hosting an Easter egg hunt with 20,000 eggs. They will have 20 Easter weekend services. People have strong opinions about it. I don't condemn the church. I condemn the people who want what the church is giving them. It's supply and demand. And I think before you start condemning other churches for what they're doing, you've got to look to what your church is doing as far as what is being added that has nothing to do with the Bible. How far do you go? And you need to decide at some point, are you going to a church that holds to the regulative principle or goes to a church holding the normative principle? And if your church can't even figure out which principle it's following, that's probably a little concerning. And if your church has all of these additional things, how is it being funded? How many things are you okay supporting? Because you're giving money to it, so that money's going into the general budget. How much of it is going for fun, food, and activities? Why are you giving money to that? Why? Now, you may think it's... Hey, look, if you hold to the normative principle, then you're going to tell me, well, the Bible doesn't condemn any of this, and that's okay. You're holding to the normative principle. Just be consistent with the normative principle. Because once you're consistent with that, that pretty much opens up the door for a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And don't be then criticizing someone else. If you hold to the normative principle, okay, then we just disagree, and that's fine. But don't, on one hand, act like you hold to the regulative principle, condemning what some big megachurch will be doing. This coming Sunday, there'll be some big megachurch probably, you know, playing, I don't know, Hell's Bells by AC/DC. And everybody will be, remember the year that happened and everybody was up in arms like, this is so ungodly. While your church is doing Easter egg hunts, but where do you draw the line? Once you go normative, then basically everything is only that which is specifically condemned. Everything else it's a free-for-all. Well, don't be 1 second regulative, next minute normative. Make up your mind. And if you make up your mind, you may look around going, wait a minute. What are we doing? Forget the big church. What are we doing? Now, for me, Sunday, I'm going to arrive at my church and we're going to do Sunday school, just like normal. And then we're going to have a normal morning worship service, just like normal. And then we'll come back Sunday night and just have a normal service, just like we always do. Unless, obviously, because we're so small, if people are gone or out of town, which I think we're going to have some people out of town, it may end up impacting what we do. But guess what? If we don't have in-person service, I'll be right here in front of this microphone doing something. But we're not going to have any big activities, because the activity of the church is the same whether it's Easter or whether it's just a normal Sunday in August. And that is the Word of God. We preach and teach it. We come as sinners. We don't come as perfect. We come as sinners in need of grace. And we hear the Word of God. And we hear the law, which condemns us. We hear the promise of the gospel, which gives us hope. We read, we study. We try to figure it out. But the minute you start adding some, I don't know who gets to then come around and say, well, you added too much. Hey, you added too many things. So we added four, you added 10. Our four is spiritual. Those other additional ones, those are ungodly. That is, I don't know how people cannot see how ridiculous that is. All right, but I will stop. You can email me, newsif@yahoo.com. The good thing is I can't be kicked off Christian radio today. newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. newsif@yahoo.com. And again, as always, don't take my word for it. Just start looking around town at what your church, look at your church, and then just start looking at church websites and what churches are doing in your city. Just start looking. They'll probably have some page for all the activities going on in Easter. Just look around. You may agree with all of the activities, or you may, but just remember, if you condemn those activities, just make sure your church, even though they may not be going that far, how many things have they added? But definitely look. That I want to challenge you. Just look. Just look around. Just look. Start going to church website to church website to church. Just look around. And just for your own, and you can just look for yourself. Maybe your city, there's not much going on. But typically, back in the day, the newspaper would have all of the big Easter activities happening in all the churches. And it always looked like a circus to me. A carnival. Not Christianity. Easter Bunny. I think I called the Easter Bunny an Easter egg at the beginning of this. If I did, I apologize. So now I'm thinking of anything that I may have said incorrectly. Probably plenty. You can correct me. newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. And with all that noise going on about what churches are doing or not doing, just do this. Just spend some time tomorrow remembering the crucifixion of Christ. And then Sunday, do what you can to actually make it about the resurrection of Christ. All right? Just do that. Just do that. And you say, well, but my kids want to do this and this. Hey, you know what? You can hide candy and have them find candy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And don't associate it with the resurrection of Christ. You don't have to do it on... You don't have to have it in their brains that they somehow connect that with Jesus walking out of the tomb. You just separate it from that. There's nothing wrong with them hiding candy. You can do it whenever you want. Hey, we're going to hide a bunch of candy. It's always great? If you wait till after Easter, then all of the Easter eggs and Easter candy, it's always on sale. And you can buy a bunch of it on discount. And then you can have all the Easter egg hunts you want. You can do them Tuesday, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. You can do it in June. I don't know how good the candy lasts, but it's there. And then they can have all the fun they want. And they don't have, and in their brain, they won't even connect it to, they'll forget about Easter by Monday. And again, I don't like the term Easter. I do realize there's some issues with it. You know, when we reference it as Resurrection Sunday is how we always reference it. And today, Friday was about the death and Sunday is about the resurrection. Oh, look, it's Monday. The Easter is over. Hey, we had a bunch of candy. You want to go find it? And then you just disconnect it completely from their minds. Now, maybe you can pull that off and disconnect it from their minds on Sunday. Maybe you can, but if you can't, I guess it's up to you at that point. Just don't want my kids to connect the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ with an Easter bunny and eggs. That's to me. Or new clothes. Get them the new clothes the week after. Then they can get a new dress and get a new, but it's not connected with the resurrection of Christ. And I know people try to say, well, new clothes talks about the new life at Christ. Just stop it. Okay, come on. That's just ridiculous. So we typically went to the other extreme. I'd be like, okay, it's Easter Sunday. We're going to wear the oldest clothes that we can possibly find, because I was always trying to make a point because, well, that's just as stupid, right? I was trying to make a point. So I'm like, I'm going to wear the oldest things I have just to make a point, because it's not about new clothes. It's about a resurrected Savior. And imputed righteousness, which is where our really new clothes come from, can't be seen because it's imputed. In fact, when you do the new clothes, it's somehow talking about the new righteousness that we receive. You're almost taking it and making it an infused righteousness and not imputed. So I don't even think if the analogy actually works, but I digress. Thanks for listening. Everyone have a wonderful evening. God bless.